So if you could turn in your Bibles, please, to that chapter that we looked at, just the end of Isaiah chapter 41 and that first nine verses in Isaiah chapter 42. You remember before Christmas, we looked at Isaiah's chapter 40 and 41. And in actual fact, this chapter 42, although it feels like a different section, it's actually a continuation of the thoughts that we were having in chapter 41, which is why I sort of went over a little bit into 41 to continue it through. And sometimes you just have to try and think that those headings aren't there. Because if you can remember what it said at the end of 41, it says, you know, I was looking for someone. There was no man. And he's talking about these false gods, isn't he? If you can remember, we had what was called the trial of the false gods. And he challenged the false gods to explain the former things, to explain what had happened, and then to predict what was to come. And of course, there was no answer. There was no answer. And so he ends chapter 41 saying, they're all worthless, these false gods. And this is, we had Nathan talking about this a little bit this morning when we were looking at the first two commandments, didn't we? Indeed, they're all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their moulded images are wind and confusion. And then he goes on, and it's almost as if he's sort of literally moving from that over there and saying, but behold, here is my servant whom I uphold. You know, look, pay attention. I'm going to tell you something. This is something special. He's been looking, you know, he's almost as if he's been looking for anyone who can fulfill these criteria. And then he says, here is my servant. Take note. And we've got this little passage, these nine verses. And this is a famous passage. It's called one of the servant songs of Isaiah. And there's five servant songs. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to deal with that as we go through Messiah. It might be a little mini series as we look at some of these servant songs of Isaiah. And we know, of course, one of those servant songs very well. We looked at it at Easter, Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant. This one that we're looking at perhaps isn't quite so well known. But we'll just have a look at it tonight and just pull out some of these truths that this prophecy is going to tell us about the servant of the Lord. And this is the first servant song. Now, as I thought about how we were going to do this, I thought, well, perhaps we'll be a little more interactive than usual. I brought my flip chart here along with me. And I've got a few headings. And if anyone wants to come and have a little write on the paper, I'm quite happy for them to do so. Could be any age. I don't mind if someone wants to come and have a little go with the felt tip markers. We've got four headings to look at. I've got four sheets of paper, and we've got things that we can add onto the paper. Are you a bit too tired for that, Faith? Don't fancy that. A little tired. Okay. You want to have a go, Micah? Come and help me? No? You can come along then. You can choose your own colour. You can make Faith jealous. You can draw pretty patterns if you want. Okay. We've got four headings, and the four headings are these. We're going to look at who is this servant he's talking about? And you might think it's really obvious because we're Christians and we're looking at this passage, but we shouldn't jump to conclusions, should we? So we're going to look at the evidence for that, and we're going to say identity. Who is this servant? Then what's his job? What's he come to do? That's function, isn't it? What's his function? Okay. And then we're going to talk about relationship. What's his relationship to God? What do we learn about that relationship from this passage? And what is the fourth one? Character. That's right. What's he like, this servant? So here we go. Let's see if we can pin this up. I want you to look at your devices. And just as we look at this heading, you can choose whichever colour. You can have different colours if you want, Micah. I want you to tell Micah what to write. What you think, just looking at these nine verses, What is the servant going to come and do? We're going to leave identity to one side. We'll do that last, so that we've actually got lots of evidence about who he is, what he's supposed to do, and his relationship to God. And then we'll come to identity last. So this is function, isn't it? What's he got to do? Can anyone see anything that the servant is going to do? Can anyone see anything? Go on, Jeff. I can see it's on the tip of your tongue. Bring forth justice. So you just have to write justice, okay? Now, the justice is quite an interesting one, isn't it? Big writing. And in fact, we know justice is important, don't we? How many times does it come up in those 9 verses? Can anyone see how many times? We're going to make Micah work hard. How many have we got? Well, we've got one in verse 1, haven't we? He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. So that's one thing that the servant is going to do. Where else does it say justice? Verse 3, he will bring forth justice for truth. Verse 4, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. That's a big job, isn't it? Do you think any earthly king can establish justice in the earth? Well, perhaps we'll think about that when we get to identity. Any other justice can we see? So how many times is that then? 3. You've got to write it 3 times, Mike? Well, you've got 2 already. Just another one. That'll do. Yep, perfect. Okay. Any other jobs? Any other functions that he's got to do? Holding hands. So who's doing the holding? God's doing the holding. So the servant is having his hand held. Okay, that isn't the servant's function. Okay, we'll come to that later. Yep. Okay, that will be one that save that for relationship. Okay, yep. Where did you get that from, Jill? Verse 2, he will not cry out nor raise his voice. Okay, yep, that's part of the way he does his work, isn't it? Yep, okay, I think we'll leave that for the moment because we're going to come back to that later.
Be a covenant?
Be a covenant, yes, okay. That's right, so covenant is this one, look. That's an interesting word, isn't it, when we think about that he is going to be a covenant to the people. How can a person be a covenant to the people? A covenant is a contract. Well, perhaps we'll think about that again a little bit later. Anything else? What about the obvious one about his job that's in his title?
Servant.
Servant, yeah. He's going to be a servant. Yep, little bottom there. That's right. Doing a great job. But the servant, that's, yes. So he's not a servant of man, but he's a servant of God, because the prophecy says, my servant. He is my servant. It's a servant doing God's will, not the will of man. And he's doing the things that God has commanded him. And it's God who's going to send him and uphold him. Any other things in there? Any other things that he's got to do? Any other jobs? Light to the Gentiles, yep, light. Making you work hard, Micah, aren't we? Okay, anything else? Next line from light. Open blind eyes. Gonna have to start writing a little bit smaller. We've got some more yet. Eyes. And bring out the prisoners. Mom, what do you expect him to do? That's it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Bring out the prisoners. Any way you can. Do it quite smart. That's it. Wow. Great. Micah, do you want to go and have a sit down for a moment? Well done. Thank you. But there's a lot of jobs on there, though, aren't there? And they're big jobs. Those are not little jobs, are they? That would be a big task for anybody, wouldn't it? There's some really sort of difficult jobs. I mean, how would you say to anybody, oh, right, you're going to bring justice and you're going to open the eyes of the blind And you're going to lead out all the prisoners. Wow. Okay, well, that's function. That's just one of the four. Next, let's have character. Any volunteers? You're going to come and have a go, Faith? Now, can I do... What colour would you like? You can have several colours. Okay, can anyone see any nice, simple words about character? What's the obvious one?
Servant.
So what would be a servant character? What would you expect a good servant to be like? Humble. Obedient. Yeah, does what he's told. Faith, sorry, you're going to have to write really quickly. What was that last one?
Diligent.
Yeah. I've got those. Gentle. Yeah, could be. Is that from the servant or is that from something else? I like that, Isaac. Well done. Yeah, I think that's good. Why would that be gentle then? What does, why would it mean that's gentle? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a bruised reed, I'm not quite sure. Presumably, a reed is a long, thin stem, isn't it? And it's bruised, so it's already damaged. But he's not going to make it any worse. He's not going to break it, and you have to be really gentle. So I like that, yeah. And what about the smoking flax? What do we think about that? Yeah, could be, couldn't it? It's almost like it was a light, and now it's almost died. But he's not going to quench it, which is what you might expect. Somehow, he's going to keep it alight. He's going to keep it alight. So, anything else that we can see? Sorry, how are we doing? On the humble, gentle, obedient. Yeah, perfect. Yep, I think that's good.
Truthful.
Sorry?
Truthful.
Let's see, what is that, the justice for truth?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like that. Yeah, character, truth. That's good. And
faithful.
Yep, faithful's good. Anything else?
Keeps his promises.
Okay, shall we roll that into faithful? Save faith. What would we say about he will not fail nor be discouraged? So he's determined, maybe something like that. Determined. Okay, we've got it, Faith. That's fine. Thank you. Okay. We had one earlier, didn't we? He will not cry out nor raise his voice. Does that tell us something about his character? He's quiet.
Patient.
Not rebellious. It's not like he's going into the streets and he's trying to stir people up. He's not leading a rebellion. I'm not quite sure. Can we sum that up? Just perhaps say quiet. I think there's something in this little sentence, the bruised reed he will not break and smoking flax he will not quench. Is that to do with being observant or knowledgeable or having some kind of knowledge? Because you wouldn't necessarily know about things, particularly if we relate this to relationships and people. Because I'm sure it's not about actual flax or actual... reads. It's about actually how he deals with people. And it's saying that he will be gentle and he will be tender towards people. And I think that means that also it means that he has insight and knowledge, doesn't it? He knows how to deal with people. Tender. Very good.
And merciful.
Merciful, yeah. Right, okay. That's good. We've got a well-filled... Thank you very much, Faith. You did a great job. That's character.
Can anyone remember what our next one was?
Relationship. The relationship that we can see with God. What can we say about that from these nine verses? Have I got any volunteers now or are they all worn out? Micah, are you recovered? Want to have a go? What can we say about his relationship with God? We've already said he's a servant, haven't we? So he's there to serve. So you could put servant down.
Chosen.
Yep. Yes, they're all in those first couple of lines. We've got a lot, haven't we? It's almost like it's chock full. Okay. What else have we got there?
Delights in him.
Delights in him. What an amazing thing that is, isn't it? How many people in the Bible does God say that about? In whom my soul delights. What a lovely thing that is. This servant is going to be such a special person. Delights. Okay. How are we doing? Good.
Spirit.
Yeah. My spirit upon him. Yes. We had one earlier, didn't we, that someone mentioned, I will hold your hand. What a lovely picture that is, isn't it? God holding the servant's hand at that. He's not going to just send him off just on his mission. He's going to be there with him, holding his hand. It's almost like a lovely intimate picture of God and the servant working together. Brilliant. I think anything else? Anyone else? Jeff?
The father won't give light to anyone else, so obviously you have the character of God.
So, is there a specific place that you're...
Verse 8. Lord, that's my name. In my blood, I will not give it to another.
Okay.
Obviously, the relationship isn't that the son is getting for by the father.
So you say that means that the servant is part of the Godhead? Is that, are you sort of...
Verse 4, backs it up.
Verse 4, yeah, okay.
Joseph's waiting expectantly for his law.
For his law. No, that's interesting. Okay.
Glorious.
Glory. Glorious, yeah. Oh, you've got more than I got. The elect, yeah. Well, that's chosen, I think. Chosen or elect, yeah. Okay, right. Let's move on. Thank you very much, Micah. Got our final one coming up. And, oh, well, I like these volunteers.
Really good.
Well done. Thank you. Okay. What ideas have we got? What do you think if we were looking at this from the point of view of Isaiah's readers, who might we think the servant might be? What ideas might we have? Just from, if you were hearing this, and it was Isaiah speaking in the synagogue or at the temple or wherever, who might you be thinking, what's this?
Prophet.
A prophet to come? Yeah, a prophet? Okay. Well, this is just ideas. A king of some kind, yeah. A saviour, yeah. Messiah, yeah.
Judge.
A judge.
Establishing justice.
Some commentators, some Jews would say it's the nation of Israel. That the servant is the nation of Israel. So if you put Israel... Sorry? A ruler. I think we've got king. Yep. Brilliant. I think we're done. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for all you helpers and your lovely writing. Well, when we look at all these ideas, we know that none of them actually fit with actually what we've got in this passage, don't we? Even the closest one is a Messiah of some kind, somebody who God is going to send, who's going to be very special, who will be a prophet and the king and the judge. And I'll have all of these attributes, but not somebody that they could look at and say, yes, that person fulfills those conditions. And it's only when we look at Jesus and we take this template of the functions and the relationship and the character, and we fit it all together, and we start looking, and we say, we know who it is. And we're in a very privileged position, aren't we? Because in a sense, we're on the other side of the story. So let's have a look at some passages in the New Testament. You don't need to turn to them, but they're just passages which sort of just cast back to this passage in Isaiah chapter 42. So, for example, In Matthew chapter 20 and 28, Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So Jesus' function as the Son of Man was to serve. To serve. That was the fulfillment. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 35, there's the report of the transfiguration. And the voice comes out of the cloud and says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. What a beautiful thing. This Jesus was the one in whom the Father delights. There's nobody else in the Bible like that, is there? And of course, we've got that also at the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Jesus comes up out of the water and the Holy Spirit comes down. And again, that's a fulfillment of the Spirit being upon Jesus. And a voice comes out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom my soul delights. Jesus fulfilling this beautiful prophecy. Then we've got that verse, haven't we? He will not cry out nor raise his voice. Well, we know it's his trial. He didn't respond to those allegations that were against him. He didn't defend himself when the soldiers came, as if he was leading a rebellion. He just said, I've been preaching in the streets. I haven't been raising a rebellion. You could have captured me at any time. Didn't need to be in the dead of night. The bruised reed and the smouldering wick reminds us of that passage where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. But perhaps the best one, and perhaps the one to turn to, is Matthew chapter 12 and verses 18 to 21. Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. Jesus has been healing in the synagogue. And of course, it's Sabbath day, so he's getting some criticism for it from the Pharisees. And Jesus withdrew from there, and it says, he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. And then in those next four verses, he literally writes out Isaiah chapter 42. This is the fulfillment of these verses. This is the Lord Jesus in his ministry on earth, fulfilling this servant role. He is the servant. In a sense, we don't need to have the discussion, do we? It's laid out for us. We know who the servant is. What about that word covenant? What about that word covenant? It would be a little bit confusing for us to work out what that meant. But again, it spells out for us in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, where we know at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Isaiah said, I will make you a covenant. It's that blood of the Lord Jesus that is the covenant. That's the sort of answer to that question that was in our minds. How can this servant be a covenant? But Jesus specifically says, this is the covenant in my blood. It's the price that was paid for the forgiveness of sins. So this prophecy is very consciously fulfilled in Jesus, fulfilled by Jesus, referred to, if you like, by Jesus at that most significant moment at the Last Supper, and fulfillment of the new covenant in my blood. And what about light to the Gentiles? Well, Jesus was taken into the temple as a baby, wasn't he? And there's Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. And Simeon takes him up in his arms and he says, I've been praying and praising. Thank you that I've seen your salvation, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy. This is what God has done. He's brought about that Messiah who fulfills the prophecy. What about fulfilling the... Well, we know that Jesus literally open the eyes of the blind, again, fulfilling the prophecy. What about freeing the captives from prison? I don't think we see that literally fulfilled, but we know that it speaks of those who are kept in a sense, captive by sin, and that Jesus freed them because he brings forgiveness of sins. He pays their ransom. Well, one of the things that he was foretold to do, wasn't he, was that aspect of justice. What about justice? We might ask, what is justice? Is it just justice that we see in our court system, or does it run through the whole of society? We all have a sense of justice, don't we? The youngest one says, it's not fair. The adult says, well, life is not fair. The servant comes to bring justice, fairness, rightness. One of the ways in which our society would characterize justice would be discrimination. People are discriminated against on the basis of color and creed and caste and class. But the servant who's come to bring justice, is that realistic in our society? It's not, is it? However hard we try, but what it takes is this. It takes a change of heart on the part of every person. How can people's hearts be changed? Well, we know that when we become Christians, God changes. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. We're given new hearts, aren't we? Our hearts of stone are taken away and we're given hearts of flesh. And we're given a new heart for a new kingdom. What does Jesus say as he starts his ministry? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That kingdom where there will be justice. And you know, for those of us who are believers, we're in that kingdom. We are seeing that kingdom, not just at hand, but in our lives. Being that salt in society. Society isn't a reflection throughout of that kingdom. We might look back and we might say, was this ever a Christian country? Well, it never was from top to bottom, was it? There were great reforms made, but we never got to the point of being a Christian society in the sense that there was justice for all at every level. But that's what the Messiah, the Savior, brings. That is the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? Not just forgiveness of sins, but new hearts, new relationships, person to person, and person to God, a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. So we've considered the function of the servant, what he came to do, what he will come to do, the character of the servant, the relationship of the servant to the Lord God, and the identity of the servant. And within that passage, just to mention, we've got those two little verses, haven't we? If you could just flip back to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 8 and 9. And God here is declaring his sovereignty, his majesty, his creatorship, and his jealousy. And again, this was something that Nathan mentioned this morning, his jealousy. My glory I will not give to another. And here we're back to that context, aren't we, of idolatry, of those false gods who couldn't answer the questions, who couldn't tell about the former things and explain them, who can't predict what is going to come. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to carved images. There was that challenge, that trial of the gods. But that chapter 41, when there was that challenge issued, is followed by this chapter 42, these few little verses, when we have this most precise delineation of the servant who would come fulfilled at every point by the Lord Jesus. And I just want you to get a grasp of that, of the way the Bible fits together with this sort of continuity between 41 and 42. It's wonderful, isn't it, that here's the challenge, here is what God says will happen, and in Jesus it's fulfilled. Well, we have that lovely picture of the servant, the Lord Jesus. It's amazing when we look at this, when we see what God has done, what God tells us that he's going to do, how Jesus fulfills those prophecies. And it tells us how we can be saved, how we can be saved. That there's going to be a covenant. There's going to be one who will establish justice in the earth. There will be that new kingdom with new hearts for people who put their trust in the Lord Jesus. And as we look at these things, I hope you're encouraged and excited about the Word of God, about its power and its relevance to us today, living in our society, what it has to say to our society. Everyone that we meet day by day, they're people that need this new heart. They're people that need the Savior. They need to be in the kingdom. And the gospel is that good news that can change hearts and lives. That message that releases the captives from prison, that bondage to sin, releases those prisoners from bondage to death and sin that can bring forgiveness and new life, eternal life.